So, as I mentioned before, we'll just move right into the sit. I'm going to invite each of us to allow our bodies to come into a posture that allows us to feel upright and alert. And this may be sitting, but if your body does not want to sit, it can also be lying down. That the uprightness and the alertness is energetic. It can also be physical and in a posture like this, but to really pay attention to the body. And some of us are sitting with a body in great health, and some of us are not. Some of us sitting with terminal illnesses and chronic illness and just a cold or broken bones. So just really nurture the body, what's comfortable, what will allow there to be a sense of availability and alertness and awakeness in the physical form. As we take our seats as daughters of the Buddha, sitting in circle, I like to think women have always done. An off-shared image I get that one day maybe we'll all get to do is to sit together around a bonfire. It has such a primal delight for me as I hold that image in my mind. But again, wanting to bring in the visual of our Sangha. Stretching across state lines and oceans, allowing yourself to take your seat in this family. Yeah. And letting, if it's helpful, the visual, the image of this Sangha. Today we are 48, 38 of us sitting together. May this be a refuge. And for the sit today, I'm going to have us just stay with the mindfulness of the body. And there are any number of practices that the Buddha offered us to allow us to find, seek, lean into a place of refuge in the body. And as women, not always, right? So I'm aware of that. And it might be for some that allowing the attention to rest on the inhale and the exhale may be just the thing today. Mindfulness of breath, an inhale and an exhale. And we know the mind will do what it does, right? As our friend Juliana Sloan says, the mind secretes thoughts like the mouth secretes saliva. It's just what the mind does. We don't need to get all involved with it. We can direct, we can aim, we can anchor the attention on this movement of an in-breath, this movement on an exhale. And then something seductive or repetitive or habitual will come into the mind and we get carried off like, oh, wait. And I come back to the breath, coming back with enough, with a lot of gentleness and ease, like, okay, let's come back here. And for some of us, the breath is not neutral. So the awareness can be a little bit, the lens can be a little bit wider in that sense of if the hands are holding each other or that the hands are resting on the legs. The temperature, the pressure, feeling into perhaps the bones, connecting with the bones of the hands holding the bones of the hand, or the bones of the hand resting on the bones in the legs. And very intentionally bringing in the bone aspect, this earth element, just as a way of grounding. There's a lot of energy that can kind of hype us up and out into all kinds of reactive states. And may we counter that move to come back into, oh yeah, this body, this very body. This fathom-long form, which is said to hold all of the teachings, can we rest here for just a moment with whatever discomforts may be present in the body? Okay, that's okay. We may not be showing up as some idea we have that we should be, some expectation. Let that go. Let us give thanks that we each of us showed up here on this day and the chance to sit together. This one breath in this one breath out, or noting the sensation, hand on the leg, hands together. There was a time that one of my legs always fell asleep. That too can be an anchor. And just letting there be a positioning of just a gentle curiosity. Okay, in this moment, it's just like this. No fight, no need for it to be otherwise. Just, oh, sweetie, how is it in this moment, this in-breath, this out-breath? How is it in this sensation just here? Nowhere else to be, nothing else to do. Just making ourselves available to knowing how it is to be in this body, this breath, this sensation. And again, we are a part of a Sangha here. So lean into your sisters, knowing that there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seat, and we see what happens. And can we meet ourselves however we are in this moment and in the next moment with as much gentleness, compassion as possible? so nice, as always, to sit together. And I'm, forgive me, just looking for a, here it is. I'm going to start, actually, with a poem that I have read before. It's by Martha Postlethwaite, The Clearing. Do not try to save the whole world or do anything grandiose. Instead, create a clearing in the dense forest of your life and wait there patiently until the song that is your life falls into your own cupped hands and you recognize and greet it. Only then will you know how to give yourself to this world so worthy of rescue. I feel like in many ways, this is sort of the time that we're in, of how do we keep an awareness and an access to being able to create that clearing. I like to kind of play with the phrasing and sort of create a clearing in the dense busyness of our lives and of our minds. Yeah. And when there's so much that we are being bombarded by, not all of it good. In terms of, okay, how do we stay connected to ourselves enough so that we can feel into what's the wise response? I'm watching myself in the past week getting really kind of caught up and probably spending too much time reading too many articles about recent actions of the Supreme Court, and just how do we work with ourselves in being able to lean into the practice. That's in some ways what I find the conclusion I keep coming back to is it's just the practice. And the part of me that can get at like, what should I do? And the image of a cat in a cartoon where it just goes in 10 different directions. And it's just like, honey, just sit. Whether it's for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 20 minutes or longer. Sometimes one of the greatest acts that we can offer to ourselves is the capacity to just, sweetie, just sit down. Allowing ourselves to disconnect what can be a propulsion to do something in the face of what we don't know, but being able to really take refuge in this practice of teaching. Again, as I said before, like this has been around for 2,600 years. A lot has happened in human history. This practice has stayed steady. So this invitation to create a clearing in the dense forest of our lives, the busyness of our minds, sort of step one of being able to, oh, right, I can do this. And sometimes it may require, as I shared earlier, I listened to chanting a lot as just a way of completely interrupting and letting my mind go somewhere else. And it so deeply touches my own heart. Okay, that might be how I start a practice. That might be my practice. It's just listening to a lot of chanting and being able to chant with it. I do long for the days when we could chant together in a room, but being able to look at where do we go? What are the practices in our basket? Because given where we are in this, what's happening, it's not going to get easier anytime soon. However, when we can keep availing ourselves of, oh, these teachings that say, we can open the heart. We can steady the mind. Okay. That's a good place to start. And it requires courage, right? The courage to come on this Thursday, whatever we all have going on in our lives, that y'all have carved out time to say, okay, I'm going to show up for my Dharma sisters and show up in the Sangha and sit with myself. That is an act of courage. Right? It's hard sometimes. And when I know for myself, when I have so much agitation or I've gone through waves of, shall we say, negative emotions, it's like, I don't want to sit. Okay, sit. Okay. And this poem from Anne Sexton called Courage. It is in the small things we see at the child's first step, as awesome as an earthquake, the first time you rode a bike wallowing up the sidewalk, the first spanking when your heart went on a journey all alone, when they called you crybaby or poor or fatty or crazy and made you into an alien and you drank their acid and concealed it. Later, if you faced the death of bombs and bullets, you did not do it with a banner. You did it only with a hat to cover your heart. You did not fondle the weakness inside you, though it was there. Your courage was a small coal that you kept swallowing. If your buddy saved you and died himself in so doing, then his courage was not courage, it was love. Love as simple as shaving soap. Later, if you have endured a great despair, then you did it alone, getting a transfusion from the fire, picking the scabs off your heart, then wringing it out like a sock. Next, my kinsman, my kinswoman, you powdered your sorrow, you gave it a back rub, and then you covered it with a blanket. And after it had slept a while, it woke to the wings of the roses and was transformed. Later, when you face old age and its natural conclusion, your courage will be shown in little ways. Each spring will be a sword you sharpen. Those you love will live in a fever of love. And you'll bargain with a calendar. And at the last moment, when death opens the back door, you'll put on your carpet slippers and stride out. And I love the simplicity and beauty of sort of it's love like shaving soap. You know, it's the mundane and it's the availability of like, oh, right, love. Love, you know, hatred never ceases through hatred, but by love alone is healed. We know this. This is the eternal law. Okay. And there's a lot of fear. Fear and love do not cannot occupy the mind and the heart at the same time. Which way do we want to go? Knowing it's not, okay, I choose door B. And we stay behind that door like, no. The waves of fear come up and anger and despair and worry or excitement or delight or all of it, right? And when we can create, again, coming back, we can create that clearing. We can avail ourselves of the Sangha stretching across the globe. There's a lot of space. And in that space is the availability to, oh, right, I'm feeling many things at one time. That's okay. And in fact, it cannot be otherwise. That's our human experience. In this realm, we are born into this realm, Four Noble Truths. It's going to hurt. And whether that suffering, that dukkha is in the sort of the wonky wheel of the cart, one of the translations, or it's just stress, it's dissatisfaction, any of a number of ways in which we suffer, yes, that's what happens here. Not all of it. Some of it is beautiful and delightful and joyous, and there's suffering. That's just part of the package. Okay, there are causes for that suffering, the degree to which we cling, we want certain things or we don't want certain things, that we want it to be different. There is suffering. All that is born will pass away. The more we fight that truth, that we will lose everyone that we love. Okay. How do we work with the degree to which we hold on? We are going to love the people we love. Hallelujah. Right? And it will hurt when we lose people. Yes. Done anything wrong. There can be this sort of myth somehow that if we do everything right, somehow we're not going to mess up our lives or hurt or be hurt. No. It comes with this package. Yeah. And there are ways, a third truth, that there are ways to work with this. But it's like, here's the path to walk. This eightfold path of working with the mind and the body and the heart. Okay. How do we relax into the sense of there is suffering in this world? There, it cannot be otherwise. However, I can certainly work with my own suffering inside, how I relate to it. How do I relate to my perception of suffering out in the world, where it lands on me as being unfair, unjust, sort of the righteousness that can come in. And we all have different experiences of it, right? I'm in no way trying to assume we all share the same political views or heart views or anything. It's just we are all impacted by what's happening around us because we are relational beings. This poem by Jane Kenyon, Otherwise, I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birchwood. All morning, I did the work I love. At noon, I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the walls and planned another day, just like this day. But one day I know it will be otherwise. It one day for all of us, it will be otherwise. Today is like this. It will be otherwise. This moment, this body's experience in this moment is like this. It will be otherwise. And I've certainly been in times in my life where it's just like, oh, no, it's going to be like this forever. And then it wasn't. You know, the beautiful line from Lauryn Hill's song, like, after winter comes spring. Every year, right? Every year it comes. Then sometimes a winter can feel like it's forever, but spring does come. So we practice. And in many ways, it is that it's times like these. And by this, I don't mean necessarily the June 30th, but in these, this, where we have been in the last number of years of, well, we know, we know what's going on. Oh, how that this is what we're practicing for. And I remember when my daughter was just born, what's can be called that fourth trimester. And a friend of mine, Dana DePalma, a dear friend of mine and a fellow teacher, we kind of joke that that fourth trimester, like that's the real 3-month retreat of like how to practice. So we were both able to primarily available for our babies when they were infants. And that real practice of, okay, just to be there with this being. Yeah. And that these days where there's so much happening, so much change, these are the moments that we are practicing for, to be able to show up to ourselves. First of all, like, how am I feeling? Separate from all the reactivity and people's opinions this way and that way and being pulled this way and this way and 80,000 emails coming in. Okay, where am I? What's true for me? And it takes, again, finding that clearing, being able to move things aside to be like, oh, wait, this is me. This is what's true for me. What do I love? What do I care about? What do I value? We spoke about this last week. What's the constellation by which I guide how I spend my time, how I invest my heart's energy? And these teachings can really help us of, as we sit, let the mind settle on the breath. Let the mind settle on an earth element or the 84,000 Dharma doors. Okay. Can we gentle ourselves into these moments that are fraught? These practices can help. The two wings of the practice are said to be wisdom and compassion. The world certainly is in need of more wisdom and more compassion, which has always been true. And here we have this amazing availability of the Dharma that we can just jump on our computers in our house and be together. And you can look at all the Dharma centers, all the teachings that are available to us. It is a remarkable time to be able to really commit to, okay, how can I really tend to my own heart and steady the mind and become available to where the heart's natural inclination is towards love and compassion and joy and equanimity. Sorry. From William Stafford, a ritual to read to each other. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world. And following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible errors of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade, holding each elephant's tail. But if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel, and maybe the root of all cruelty to know what occurs but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. It is important that awake people be awake. Or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes, no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. And yet, that song that I played before, it's like, where there is darkness, let there be light. How do we allow ourselves to be that light? Not all the time. So to be realistic with ourselves of what's possible, we to sort of set the compass, orient the constellation, set our intention, our aspiration to be that light which can land in love in the face of whatever is coming. Yeah. Which requires some fortitude. That courage, that sense of a lion heartedness, a sense of a fierce compassion of, yes, okay, I will see what's happening. And I will make the choice of love in all of its dimensionality. Right? That there can be a fierce love, that there can be an accepting love, the grandmother love. And we know in our lifetimes of various experiences we've had of love, the textures, the flavorings, the depths, you know, the movements of it. Okay, it can look many different ways. And each one of us will have different expressions on any given day of how do we express our love. And it's easy to get pulled out and into an ungrounded kind of up here place. So we come back and we sit. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Letting yourself feel the body again, the points of contact of your sit bones on the cushion, if your feet are on the floor. Oh yeah, right. Connecting to the earth's energies. Letting these bodies be held by this earth as we sit together in the States and Canada and Europe. This ground beneath us that unites us, these hearts that are beating that unite us. May I sit with balance and ease. May I meet these changing times with a gentle, open heart. And name these phrases and just invite you to, if they resonate, just to repeat them. May I sit with a sense of balance and ease. May I meet these changing times with an open and compassionate heart. May I honor and make space for the complexity of my own experience. May I rest in a place of balance and ease. May I find peace amidst the changing circumstances of my life. Just notice what the response is viscerally or in the mind to offering these phrases of equanimity to yourself. May I rest in a place of balance and ease. May I meet the changing conditions of life with an open, balanced heart. May I live in the center of the clearing in the dense busyness of my life. May I live with balance and ease. And again, if there are other phrases that come to mind that resonate, or letting these phrases kind of reverberate in your own system. And then holding in your mind's eye, if it's helpful, the image of our Sangha, or taking a look at these beautiful faces and offering these phrases to each other. May you sit with balance and ease. May you meet the changing circumstances of your life with an open heart. May your goodness protect you. May you find balance and ease in all that's unfolding in the world. And this is not an invitation to being a doormat. This is an invitation to finding, again, that clearing, not to beleaguer that image, but to finding that place of rest within our own beings, such that we can respond in a way that is in alignment with what we value. Being able to rest in that sense of, it is like this, it is just like this. What's next? May I learn to abide in the nature of understanding, it is just like this. May I stay open to what's next? To wish this for our Dharma sisters here, those that are here today, those that cannot be with us. May you rest with an open heart, with an understanding, it is just like this, in this moment. May you stay open to what's next. May you move from a place of balance with love and wisdom. May your goodness protect you. We will all have different expressions of what it means to manifest, to embody these beautiful teachings of Upekkha, of equanimity, of sitting down in the middleness of all this, or the 30,000 foot view, seeing the world with grandmotherly eyes. These are all different permutations, interpretations of this heart quality of steadiness. Yes, this too. Yeah. And I love imagining sort of this generative goodwill amongst our Sangha here. Passing well wishings for balance and ease, equanimity to each other. And that energy that's created can go so far beyond our Sangha. And we can call in those of our dear friends, those we are loved ones. May you too live with a balanced heart. May you meet the changing conditions of the world with an open heart, a steady mind. May you see the world with grandmotherly eyes. May you rest in and be protected by your own goodness. May you be carried by the wings of wisdom and compassion. And imagine inviting everyone into the Sangha, yeah. The circle is be as big as we want it to be. Bringing in loved ones, bringing in the deities, bringing in the animal allies. Who do we want to invite in to the circle? To share these blessings, these well-wishings of ease and equanimity and balance and compassion and wisdom, right? Imagine that world. each one of us guided by, rooted in, led by wisdom and compassion. May your heart be buoyed by the two wings of the practice, wisdom and compassion. Extending this wish to all who've joined us in the circle. May you live with balance and ease. May you meet the changing times with a sense of openness, open-heartedness, and steadiness of mind. And may these wishes of equanimity spill out from this ever-growing Sangha to touch all beings everywhere. Beings in refugee camps and in prisons and in the halls of justice and in the wedding halls and in the nurseries and those summer vacationing on lakes and in the mountains and on the beach and those that are suffering on the streets. May you too live with a sense of balance and ease. May you be protected by your own goodness. May you see the world with grandmotherly eyes. May you see the world as it is and stay available for what's next. These are the times we have been practicing for. May we be guided, all beings. May we be guided by wisdom and compassion. So, thank you all. I'm going to stop there. And as always, very much appreciate your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.